I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Once I thought if I read the papers, we'd saved, I could argue with him. But I picked wrong. I read about the white policemen who were arrested for killing some Negroes and said, I was glad they were arrested. There was about time. He looked at me and shouted, the story hit the paper because it was news, girl, news. I didn't know how to answer him and I started to cry. So my grandmother said, Sonny, go somewhere and sit down. And my mother said, Walter, shut up about all that to her. She explained to me what he meant, that for the everyday killing cops did of Negroes, nobody was arrested at all. She took me shopping after that for some things her bosses and tuxedos wanted, and I didn't ask her why she had to shop for them or on her off days, because then she wouldn't have taken me to Tiffany's on 37th Street, where it's quieter than when Reverend asked for a minute of silent prayer. When that happens, I can hear feet scraping. Some people blow their noses, but in Tiffany's, nobody blows a nose, and the carpet prevents shoe noises of any kind, like tuxedo. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast, your host Rod and
Karen,
and that's Toni Morrison's jazz again. And you guys, we are back for some more podcasting.
What a vivid description.
Look, Toni Morrison, the god, okay, she did her thing. I gotta read more. So you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Search the Black Guy Who Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport,
bullet ball,
and bullet ball extreme. And today,
I've never been to Tiffany's.
Of course not. She was shopping for white people. Her mom worked in a household for white folks, and even on her off days, they had her doing work that was for them. So she's shopping for them. And it's also about how her mom stole from that job, as you know, it becomes a whole thing. Like, you know, she liked to think that it was like kind of an act of rebellion, and to say, like, after all the stuff they've done to me, and I'm taking something from them. But then she gave this like jewel to her daughter. So like, it's a whole thing, man. Ugh, I love that book. It's such a good book. Anyway, guys, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Search the Black Guy Who Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and unofficial sport,
bullet ball,
and bullet ball extreme.
And as weird as that may sound, even for me, and we quote unquote is free, I would still be like, I don't know if I'm going to go into Tiffany's.
Like, you mean now?
Yes.
Oh, you wouldn't go in, and even if you had the money or whatever. Oh, I guess you don't even need the money. I mean, you can go into any store, technically.
Right, but you know, and it's weird, and maybe that's a phobia or fear that I need to get over, but in certain places, I don't even want to even waste my time to walk through the doors, as wild as that may sound. And I know that we can go any, quote-unquote, anywhere we want to go, but it would just be the fact that I wouldn't want to be harassed.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point, though, because I think a lot of people have that same fear, that same thought process.
Even if I had the money, even if I could go in and just buy anything I wanted, I'd be like, nah, not there, I'm good.
Yeah, but it kind of was like that chapter, that piece of excerpt I read yesterday, where she talked about how you have to walk a certain way to avoid the white gaze and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, you kind of have to walk like, you either have to blend into the background and try to disappear, like she was talking about yesterday, and that was to avoid white men. But you know, there's also the other thing, like I watched the Harriet Tubman movie, and there's part where she makes it to Philadelphia, and you have to remember that the only black people were free in the North, you know, to a certain extent, still dealing with segregation and stuff, but free. And the difference is, in the South, you're not free. Now in the movie, they make it seem as if this is before the Fugitive Slave Act passed. Now technically, in real life, Harriet actually escaped during the Fugitive Slave Act, so like it wasn't a denotation between fugitive, not fugitive. Like, she escaped at a time where once you were in another city or some shit, if you were in the North, white people were bound by law to not only capture you if they found out you were a fugitive slave and report you, they were also bound by law to assist in the capturing of. So you know, when, like, you really did have to basically, and the only difference between a free black person or not is your papers. Your papers say you free or you're not. And so, they would even, in 12 Years a Slave, that movie's about the fact that there was a free black man, Solomon Northrop, that they was just like, fuck him, take him back.
Right, and that's the thing, fuck your papers. And I think, it's very complex and still the older I get, the more I try my best. It's so hard, y'all, to deprogram myself, get over my fears of white supremacy and shit that has kind of been laid upon me, and I didn't ask for it, I didn't request it, I was just fucking born, and all of a sudden you get all this shit laid upon you and all this weight laid upon you, and you're like, well damn, I didn't ask for all this. But it's something that you have to learn how to work through and navigate and grow and shit like that. And like I said, and it's weird that I didn't even think about that till you said it. Yeah, it's certain places where I would still be like, I don't know if I would even walk through the doors. Mm-hmm. Because it's one of them things where, you know, even because you've heard it before with celebrities, black celebrities, they walk into places, they have the paper, and they still are treated like shit. Well, you go, well, we know you a celebrity, but to them, you're just another nigga.
Yeah, so in the Harriet movie, when she makes it to Philly, a guy that sees that she's obviously, you know, like, not from there, and she's looking around, and she asks for basically where this abolitionist station, and that lets him know, as a black man, like, oh, okay, so you're here, you've escaped the freedom, and you're gonna go and, you know, go through this process of getting free. And he tells her, look, just walk like you're supposed to be here. Like, it's not a big secret. You the only one know if you free or you not.
Mm-hmm.
So walk like you free. And mm-hmm. I think that's kind of the way that I feel about, like, that kind of stuff. There's places where I feel uncomfortable at times, like, and I've been challenging myself to get over that bullshit, because I like a couple weeks ago, Karen says she will not go to these places, whatever. We were looking for somewhere to eat through Yelp, and Yelp was like, go to this place. And I can't, it was like one something in Maine or something. It was some mm-hmm. fancy place, y'all.
We did not initially know that.
Like, very fancy. I had no idea. Yelp doesn't have a fancy title. So
no, it don't.
It just is, this restaurant is close to you. So we go over there and we walk in. And, you know, of course, I'm dressed in, like, I think maybe a t-shirt and some shorts.
You know, we always dressed down.
Karen's dressed in, like, some pants and shit. And you look around the restaurant, and they have 37 servers.
Yes, they do, and a manager on the floor, too.
You know, those fancy, fancy places always have, like, 3 managers, 17 servers.
Come on.
It's only
20 people cooking.
Yeah, it can be, like, 14 people in the restaurant. It could be 100 people. They're, like, every 3 seconds. Is everything okay? You need anything else? You know, that kind of place. So it's, like, super fancy to dress. Even the waiters are, like, dressed to the nines and shit. And, you know, we come in, and the first thing they say is, like, do you have a reservation? So immediately, you know, I pull out my phone because I'm like, let me record this. I'm about to get a Twitter moment, you know. I was a normal person. I was like, no, we don't. But I'm thinking, damn, we did just roll up on here on a Saturday night. Like, fuck it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, what's the worst it could be? And I remember walking in from the parking lot. On the balcony, there were people, white people,
mm-hmm.
that had, like, t-shirt, shorts, you know, a sweater, some jeans, something right. like nothing fancy.
Mm-mm.
Nothing fancy at all. Just some yoga pants, you know.
Come on.
And when they asked me about the reservation, and I looked around the inside, and I realized tonight is like a fancy night for some of these people. This is like, you know, we go to the golf club, and then after golf, we put on suits and eat steaks at 131, whatever the fuck place was. 151 Main or whatever the fuck.
Right.
And, you know, I'm looking at Karen, like, when they say reservation, like, shit, were we supposed to have a reservation? And I'm like, no, we don't have one. And they're like, oh, okay. Like, she froze for a second, like, maybe she thought I was going to be like, well, I guess we out. Which I was like, why do we need one? She was like, no, it's fine. We just wanted to see. Okay, well, give us a second. Da, 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 da. They figured out what table we was at. Boom, they sit us at a table. I made a joke about it on Twitter that I was like, yeah, we sat down, and then a white woman looked at us when she saw we was black, and we sat next to him, and I said, what you looking at? And I went over and I paid for her meal, and then I asked her what college did her kids go to, and I paid for their tuition, you know, like a joke. You know, them Twitter moments that people be having. I don't know if they happen or not, but you guys know the moments. Mm-hmm. I was on a airline and someone looked at me because I had a Black Panther shirt and I was in first class, and she looked like I wasn't supposed to be there, and I flexed on her, y'all. I said, girl, get out of your coach seat and sit in my first class seat because I'm so rich, I don't even care. I'm like, what? Nigga, you just came out of first class for what?
I wouldn't have.
To prove something to a racist? Fuck them. Eat a nice meal. Sitting in first class, that was the thing. You won. Yes. Anyway, I remember thinking to myself, like, damn, we here and, you know, like, kind of really casually dressed, and the elephant in the room, we're Black, you know, and we didn't see that many Black people in there. Mm-mm. But I was just like, fuck it, fake it till they make it. They don't know if I'm rich. I could be like an NFL player. They don't know who the fuck I am.
That's right.
So I could be in there like, nigga, this is y'all night out. It's just not a fancy night for you, boy. This is nothing to me, peasants.
Come on.
You know what I mean?
I do this every day.
Escargot, please. You know what I mean? Like, so I just looked at, I reversed it. Like, they don't know me. I don't know them. And honestly, it ain't they fucking business. So I'm just act like I'm supposed to be there, you know? And then honestly, the servers and stuff were very professional and polite.
Yes,
I think what's weird is that people like that kind of like our presence in restaurants we are laid back. We are appreciative. All the little fancy shit they do, we're always like, what? You can eat this fly when you put in this drink?
I know. We asking all the questions and shit.
Yeah.
Especially me.
You know, I just looked at it like that, man. Like, my money spend the same way. And, like, real talk, like, I'm not looking for problems.
Mm-mm.
You know, but I think sometimes as black folks, you don't want to ever put this on somebody else.
Right.
But it's something I notice. I think sometimes as Black folks, we let our paranoia speak for us, and when we place things on people that haven't done shit to us.
Agreed.
So in my, I could have walked in that restaurant and in my mind been in fight or flight mode, ready for some white person to pop off or look at me suspect, or for the waitress to stumble over her words or to act like she ain't on our table. And I could have projected that onto her because I was uncomfortable in there.
Right.
And I decided not to. You know, I was just like, nah, the experience is, unless I get some blatant bullshit, the experience is what it is. And honestly, it was a top flight experience. I definitely go back. I mean, you know, after I collect some paper a little bit, I mean, it was expensive. I definitely go back, and I had a great time, and we had a great time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, fuck them people. Like, and we did the same shit we always do. We was in there reading comic books and shit, and they went, what is this? What are you reading? And, you know, like, cause if I would have sat there and did that at Qdoba, then why the fuck I'm the one paying for the experience, not you. You know what I'm saying? You're not paying me.
Right. And the thing is, it was one of them super, super fancy places where you literally almost don't know who your server is because, like, literally.
There's so many.
Right. Literally, you want some drink, you want this, you want that. Like, you set something to the side, somebody immediately picks it up.
I was worried more that, they would have a dress code or something. But once I found out there's no dress code, I don't give a fuck.
Mm-mm.
Like, that's it. I'm getting the same experience. And like I said, I had, because my own racial paranoia, this thing that has been done to us, I did tighten up. Like, wait, I had to go through my mind. Like, wait, Rod, stop, Bree. Weren't there white people in yoga pants with sweaters outside? I'm like, yeah, there's no dress code. Like, I was ready for that though, because I've been in situations where you go to a bar and they're like, no tennis shoes, no this. And then you look past the bouncer and you're like, this white man got tennis shoes and a backwards hat on.
And flip flops.
And, well, not tennis shoes and flip flops, but he got like something I would be wearing. Like, you know, like something against the dress code. So I have had situations where I'm like, this is a racist thing that's happening to me.
Right.
But I don't want to walk into a situation looking for and expecting to be treated racist and then project it into something that, you know, what if they would have been like, literally, this is a restaurant where you have to have reservations. You know, a lot of people would have been like, that was racist. You know what I'm saying? And maybe I would have felt that deep down, like, man, I wonder if that was racist. But, you know, it was just the matter of letting the experience be what it was, and it turned out to be a great night.
Yeah, and also, I think, too, I think she may have asked the people behind us, so I think people, a lot of people must make reservations. So I guess they like just ask everybody, do they got reservations?
And that's another thing, right? Sometimes you have to see how they treat the next people or some mm-hmm. white people to even know, you know. Like I know I've been in situations where you get that feeling of like, wait, did they order their food before me, you know, that kind of shit. Like we've all had those moments where it's like, are they avoiding my table, stuff like that, you know. And it happens sometimes, but yeah, I just think it's important to not defeat yourself, right? and to be like, because I mean, we're talking about being black, but being a woman,
yeah.
For me, being a fat person to go to the gym, like there's moments where I defeat myself, where I'm just like, oh, I don't want to, they're gonna be looking at me, they're gonna say something to me, and then, you know, you get in there, and you're like, wait, this isn't even, I'm making this a problem before it could be a problem. Right. I'm not going to the mall because I'm worried they're gonna say you're loitering, or they're gonna walk around the store looking at me or something. And that experience may or may not happen to me, but I have the fucking right. And so if I don't go, I kind of already lost.
Right.
Like a thing I've been dealing with lately, is, you know, I've been walking, like in addition to playing basketball and all that shit, I've been walking every day. And so, well, 5 days a week I've been walking. And so I'll go walk around our apartment complex for about 30 minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. I've been doing it for about a week and a half, something like that. Yeah. I see people, they see me all the time walking. Baby, it's like I'm invisible. Like honestly, it's like I don't know, big black man, I'm scared.
And then you out there like pre-dawn, like
sometimes, but yeah. Sometimes I'm there, you know, like I'll wait a couple hours after you leave and it's kind of like,
okay,
light out, you know. And people, you know, I'm not taking offensive, people mm-hmm. are like walking to work, getting in their cars and stuff sometimes,
walking their dog,
you know. But it's very telling. I'd say 1 out of 20 people will acknowledge my presence, and out of that group of people, like a handful of them might wave or smile. Mm-hmm. And to the point where it's awkward because I am aware I'm a big black man. Mm-hmm. I am also fucking scared someone's gonna like call the police on me for being suspicious in my own neighborhood,
right?
So I'm honestly trying my best to, like, you know, smile, nod, at least let people acknowledge that I'm there and I see them and they see me. Another thing I do is like give people a wide berth. So like if I see a woman walking her dog on her cell phone by herself or something, I walk to the other side of the curb, right, or whatever, just so that I'm like, you know, 10 to 15 feet away from the person at all times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and okay, you know, and dogs don't give a fuck, they're like, hey, a person. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes people that walk dogs might acknowledge me a bit because they'll be like, oh, my dog is clearly looking at you.
Right.
And it's kind of awkward.
I got to say something,
you know. And I smile at the dog, smile at them, you know. But as of right now, I want to say one person has spoken to, no, two, a black older black lady checking her mail, and this Mexican woman who was walking her kids to the car or something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about, I've run into at least 40-50 people.
Yeah, because they be moving. Yeah,
it's just crazy that, you know, I like, obviously I'm not gonna let it deter me, and I don't mm-hmm. mind being left the fuck alone, but mm-hmm. it's just interesting to think about, like, all the mental gymnastics I could be placing on them. Like, they're scared of me, they're racist, they're, I don't fucking know. And you know what? Doesn't matter.
Mm-mm.
They could just, you know, it's like that time I talked about on the show where we had a white woman that was our neighbor, and she never fucking spoke to me or got out of her car mm-hmm. if I was anywhere around for over a year.
Right.
And, you know, my whole thing was, I don't know her struggle. I don't know if she's afraid of me. I don't know if she's, if it's some racist shit. I have no idea. That's whatever she's dealing with, that's for her. I'm not going to make her uncomfortable. So, you know, if for me personally, I was choosing stuff like, okay, she's getting coming out of her house to get in her car. Let me go ahead and wait for her to get out of her car, and then I'll get out of mine. Cause clearly she's not comfortable. She doesn't speak. She doesn't make eye contact. You know, it's fucking weird, you know, but that's kind of how I just do it, you know. So, and it's not like, you know, someone brought up New York City, but it's not like New York City where, like, I hear about white people that, like, don't move out the way for folks or run over folks. People move out of my way.
You know, it's another reason that I don't really worry about like internet threats and getting in fights and escalating that shit, because my life isn't like that, you know. And I'm not some Superman nigga. It's just that my life isn't one of constant conflict and battle and people threatening me and all that stuff. So it's not that I ever feel afraid in that way. I'm more afraid of someone being afraid of me,
right,
and trying to do something to me while I'm just fucking walking, trying to damn like get my cardio up, okay, listen to this podcast about comment. So leave me alone, you know. But yeah, that's, it's just interesting though.
And I never really thought of it like that, because all jokes aside, and I think because you being a black man and me being a black woman, my experience is completely different. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, like I say, we both have to deal with blackness, but I think me being a woman, a lot of people aren't, their guard isn't as high because I'm a female.
Yeah, and then of course you have the people that are like wanting to talk to a woman, you know, for like sexual reasons and shit. And then of course your natural disposition is more outgoing and smiling at everybody and speaking to people and shit,
right?
It's, which is something I don't normally do. Matter of fact, I think there was this white woman that saw me three times today, and like and she was walking the opposite direction towards me, and clearly like we made eye contact, and so I did the head tilt thing, you know. I'm like, oh, maybe she didn't see my head tilt. I literally waved at her, and then she just, it was like I was a ghost. I was like I was like, what the fuck was that? Like I just kept walking, like,
right,
who, I don't know, maybe she felt some kind of way, maybe she thought that, I mean, what threatening ass niggas waving at you like, hey, how you doing? Is there fucking cardio strolling through your neighborhood? Like, cool, yeah.
And
whatever.
And also the thing too is that I think for a lot of people, they're in their own minds also. And a lot of times, you know, when you walk up on people, people are like, I don't want what you're selling.
That's what's interesting. That's what I'm saying. I'm not walking up on nobody.
Right.
That's my point. I'm giving her 15 feet. I literally go to the other side of the parking lot because right. I don't even want somebody to feel threatened that way.
Right.
And I'll go out of my way to make sure you're comfortable. And I'm like, well, maybe it's a feeling of like, he's being weird. He's not acknowledging I'm here. Like that, what a weird person to be. And so I'm like, we're neighbors. Hey, neighbor, whatever. And nothing. I was like, oh shit, okay, well, I guess I didn't read that wrong. Anyway, it's just interesting.
Yeah, it's just weird, just the way people interact with each other and shit like that. And my thing is, once you start walking around, you get familiar with people, and then you see their faces. If let's say something does happen, you won't be, well, do I know who you, do you live here? I don't got to know your name, but at least have some familiarity with your face. And also, I think for me, I remember that time we went to that restaurant. I think we were going somewhere, and an event got canceled or something like that. It was coming back from a wedding. We got dressed up, went to the fancy place over there near South Park, and we ordered something. I think they got your steak wrong, and it was wild though, because it's like we were in our own minds, but also they were in their own minds, because it was like the person like kind of overcorrected almost.
Oh yeah, they was panicking. But see, that's the other thing about them fancy restaurants, babe. They go out there and it's a big night out for people. And for a lot of people, a big night out means everything needs to be perfect. And it also means I'm gonna be spending a little bit extra money from my paycheck. I don't make money to be in here every night, so I'm gonna be a dick because I now have the power to be a dick. And people associate being rich, fancy, spending a lot of money with being a dick. And you know me, I would never treat a server bad. Honestly, a server could treat me bad and I probably wouldn't say shit in a confrontational way,
right?
And that's on me,
right?
Like I'm saying that's overcorrection to the degree that is not right,
to the opposite direction.
If somebody does some fucked up shit, I should be able to stand up for myself. But if it's a waiter, normally I'll try to compensate and be like, it could be this, it could be that. But yeah, in that situation, they were so apologetic because most people come in there and it's like,
and we were so nice and so sweet, and they was like, oh, don't, you know, do you want me to get a manager? We was like, no, we're good. The manager came, you want free? We was like, no, we had to tell them to calm down. It was like almost everybody went 911.
Yeah, they give They gave us like a free steak and shit. It was weird.
Yeah.
But anyway, this episode is brought to you by Adam and Eve.
Oh yeah, baby.
You like free stuff, everybody? I know I like me some free stuff, okay? Adam and Eve want to give you some free stuff, guys. And free stuff to stuff yourself with, if you know what I'm saying, to get yourself free. Select almost any one item at 50% off, and then Adam and Eve will give you a bunch of free stuff. That's all you gotta do. Enter offer code TBGWT at checkout, get 10 tantalizing free gifts, a sexy item for him, a special gift for her, and a third item you'll both enjoy, and plus 6 free adult movies, plus free shipping. Okay, I love Adam and Eve. It's like I don't have to go. I know they say Amazon killing everything, but listen, some stores you just don't want to go in to the porn store up the street anymore. Okay, mm-hmm. Maybe you don't want to go. We don't have local video stores anymore.
No, we don't.
Where you could go rent a video, and then they had that one room with the beaded curtain.
Oh yes, the back in the back,
or the saloon doors or whatever, and they had like a small collection. of unmatched disordered porn.
The cover don't even match the tape,
right? With 4 ebony titles, 2 gay movies, and a whole lot of white people shit, you know. Yeah. It's like what am I gonna do? I've already seen Booty Talk 25-17 times. I can't rent it again. Mm-mm. You know, and now you got to do that awkward thing where it's like, oh, I guess I'll rent RoboCop 5 RoboCop in time, so it don't look like I just came in here for some smut. So let me get a copy of RoboCop 5 and
Big Bus 52.
Yeah, and then let me get fat ass white girls number 7.
Come on.
And let me also get Fattest Rhymes and Dimes number 4.
Yes.
Because y'all don't have the whole series. I'll take Black Cheerleader Surge 17 and I'll also take Mary Poppins Returns again.
Come on.
Because you know I'm a nice wholesome guy.
Yeah, in addition, why don't you go ahead and throw in that Blackstreet Hookers number 82.
Yeah, give me Blackstreet Hookers 82 and yeah, let me go ahead and also get this Viola Davis movie that I've never heard of and will not be watching.
Will not be watching. I'll just bring it in with everything else. Go ahead and throw that Freak Hoes and Flows number 25.
When I'm done watching this porn, I'm not gonna watch these movies. Okay. Nope. This is just extra cost. Adam and Eve is trying to save you cost.
Yes,
okay. They trying to give you free shit. Half off 6 free movies and free shipping plus 3 free gifts. Like, what are you waiting on? Go to adamandeve.com, put in TBGWT in the checkout code, and they're gonna take care of you. All right. Man, I forgot about the rap in that song. back when R&B songs had to have a rap.
I know some of y'all are like, are those titles real? Yes, those titles are real.
Not the movie titles, but the...
The porn titles.
The porn
yes.
titles are
Cause
real.
Because I know my porn, they're real titles.
You just wanted to flex. That's I don't know why you yes. had to tell them. The real people know, Karen, okay? The real smuts know, okay?
Yeah, they know.
My scumbags.
They was like, ah, memories.
My scumbags know. All right, let's get to news, guys. There's a bunch of it. Most of it's quick hit stuff, I think, but we'll talk about it. Beto O'Rourke drops out of the 2020 presidential race.
About time.
Yeah. I saw the video where he was telling them he had to leave. Though it is difficult to accept, it is clear to me now that this campaign does not have the means to move forward successfully. He wrote in his announcement of his decision on Medium. This campaign that has prided itself on seeing things clearly and speaking honestly and acting decisively, we have to clearly see at this point that we do not have the means to pursue this campaign successfully, and my service will not be as a candidate nor as a nominee for this party for the presidency. He told supporters, although this is the end of the campaign, we are right in the middle of this fight, and he will do everything I can to support the eventual nominee of this party with everything I've got, and I encourage every single one of you to do the same. He vowed to be part of all the same causes that brought us here and included gun control, climate change, and structural racism. Yeah, I'm upset by this, honestly, because he didn't cuss. I think he should have been like, we are out of fucking money and I'm fucking goddamn gonna go back to Texas, okay? Shit. Because I feel like that's what he brought to the race, and I will miss his cussing.
Ha ha!
I'm a big fan of Beto's cousin. I know y'all, a lot of you guys don't like that. You don't like it's white privilege and shit, but that motherfucker could cuss, and he was good at it. So hopefully he won't stop cussing even if he's not in the race, because shit gonna keep happening, and I'm gonna need somebody to cuss.
Yes, cuss up a storm.
What if Elizabeth Warren started cussing because he dropped out? You know how she'd be like, "Ooh, Jay Inslee dropped out. Let me pick up this climate reform and add that to my cyborg initiative." Platforms I just joined, right. it's the Borg out this beast.
Like, oh, handed right here.
Yeah, what is she like? Okay, well, I cuss now. Okay, every time somebody drop out, she just pick up their powers. They like, it's like an X-Men or something.
Transfer the power.
Yeah, it's like the Highlander. Every time one of them go down,
she get a little stronger.
She just pick up the thing that they was known for and shit. Except for Tulsi Gabbard, she like, I don't want any of your shit. Mm-hmm. But
I reject that.
Yeah. Cory Booker leaves, she started dating Rosario Dawson. We all know that's his number one. That's his number one. That's his number one platform, okay?
Yes, it is.
That's the only reason I would vote for that man. All of us had the same thought. I was like, he is. I don't know how he's dating Cory. Yeah. I mean, Rosario Dawson fucking him. I mean, can he be that bad? I don't know.
I
mean, she fucked Eric Andre. I love his show. And
I do too.
And, Jay-Z, I mean, that motherfucker's a billionaire. She got good. I don't know. Anyway, Kanye West had an event, and a catering company served meals, and the meals have been dubbed Fyre Fest 2.
Oh shit.
Yeah, someone took a picture of his brunch that was being served.
Fyre Fest was terrible. We seen both the documentaries.
Yeah, what's funny about this is that people act like Kanye West made the food himself. Like he was out there like flipping pancakes and shit. It wasn't that, but the food does look terrible.
He probably just hired somebody and was like, get it done.
Yeah, it was supposed to be his state service, and then it was Brunchella is what they called it. It's a fundraising event at Bethany Church where guests are charged $55 a plate. So on the plate, they got a sausage patty, two strips of bacon, and two what I can only describe as depressingly bitten pancakes. Like, that's a bite of
no powdered sugars.
That's a bite of rage that was taken out of them pancakes.
No grits.
Those are microwave pancakes.
No side of fruit.
Yeah. One unsatisfied guest documented their meal on social media, showing plates of pancakes, sausage, and a couple slices of bacon. Here's the other thing. I feel like this is a internet new nigga type thing. Mm-hmm. If this happened to me, I'm not taking a picture and showing y'all.
Mm-mm.
If I played myself going to see Kanye West and giving him $55 for brunch, and then I got some whack brunch, that L comes with me to the grave. Mm-hmm. The fuck I'm gonna tell y'all? Hey guys,
I've brunched harder for less than $55.
Everyone has, Karen. It wouldn't have been a viral picture if everyone. You can literally,
you didn't get the size of mimosa.
You get more at McDonald's for this, like, for not for the $55. I'm talking about, there are breakfast platters you can order at McDonald's that have more food than this.
Yes, it is.
Like, oh my god, that's so yeah. But yeah, Kanye had nothing to do with the catering. It was done by a Louisiana company that took full responsibility, but I just can't see myself dealing with anything Kanye West at this point and spending my money. I can't see it.
Mm-mm.
I honestly can't see doing it for free, to be fair. I'm not going anywhere where a nigga might break into a random Make America Great Again speech.
Out the blue.
Like, there's nothing I want to, what can I possibly want to do that bad?
Nothing.
Sex isn't even that good. If I was having sex with somebody and knew that there was a chance
that they could put on a red cap,
they were going to give me a MAGA speech in the middle of it, I'd be like, I prefer to not be, I'll be asexual.
Put on a red cap and suck your dick.
Right. I can jack off for less. I'm good. Jesus. It's ridiculous. Despite all the hoopla, Harriet scores a $12 million opening, which beats Adult Drama Curse. So apparently, it grows better than expected. $12 million from just over 2,000 theaters. In an era dominated by branded IP and superheroes, Harriet, which earned a coveted A+ cinema score from audiences, landed at number 4, just behind the $12.2 million gross by Maleficent, Mistress of Evil, in the sequel's third weekend. Now, that cinema score thing is important. People will try to downplay that. I've already seen people try to do it. But cinema score is derived by a company that actually goes to the theater, and when people exit the theater, they poll them to see what they thought about the film.
Right. There ain't no internet trolls and everybody caping together talking about, we gonna tank this shit.
So remember that what I talked about yesterday, and how the disconnect between what was happening online and what was happening in theaters.
Yeah, they're not,
where people were talking about, you know, hey, people hit me up privately, a couple people actually, and were like, I saw your post where you said that people clapped in your theater, and then you went online and everybody hated it, so you know, and they were like, I had the same experience. People clapped in my theater. Now they're telling me this privately. Why?
Because of the foolishness online.
But I'm saying you can go out and say it that, because people are literally being attacked for liking this film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The and if you weren't attacked for liking it, because you know people were spreading lies about the film. Mm-hmm. But people weren't seeing the film and then attacking people for it. And then people that, you know, kind of fall into the category of, I didn't like the film, were also trying to make it some test of blackness to be like, well, if you liked it, it's because you're either a white person that just loves slavery movies. Keep in mind, this is not the brutal slavery movie that people claim that white people love. You know, the ones where it's like, either way, they're going to blame whiteness.
Right.
Because that's our default. But mm-hmm. black people were the ones trying to tank this movie. That's just real talk. Black feminists and hotep niggas and woke crowd, like everyone came together to be like, we trying to get this movie to fail. Cynthia Erivo pissed enough people off that, hey, fuck it. If Cassie Lemons don't work again, fuck her. You know what I mean? Like,
she, but only, we all about blackness though.
She only directed and co-wrote it. You know what I'm saying? But, even so, anyway, I'm not going to say that part, but yeah, it was just interesting because I saw people clap for it. Can't erase that. Not one or two people either. Like, it surprised me because I didn't clap. I was like, what the fuck?
What's all this cheering?
Yeah. I was like, it was okay. But they applauded the movie.
Because they were served.
They liked it.
Mm-hmm. Somebody overserved.
And it wasn't just one age range because people were like, well, it's old black people. There were some old black people in there, but it was also people taking their kids. It was also the youngish millennial crowd, the wokish type blacks. You know, I saw a brother with a bow tie in there. Like, it was people that love blackness, and repainting them as like some type of fucking coon because it serves an internet agenda is short-sighted and stupid.
Yes, it is.
And it's why you can't really fuck with these people. You can't trust them, because how you trust somebody that'll say anything, including a lie, that'll side with Tariq Nasheed? Cause it's, even though they claim to hate him and say he hates black women, in this case, he hating the right black women. So we gonna be on his side today. Just weird, weird shit like that. Yeah, audiences have been unanimous for their love of the film, which is clear from its A+ cinema score and 98% audience rating on Rotten Tomatoes, says Focus Distribution President Lisa Burnell, with the story of one woman's strength that literally changed the world, blah, blah, blah. The other thing too, when this happens to like The Last Jedi, when this happens to the Ghostbusters movie that starred women, people will recognize the online campaign against the movie and go, well, that's fucked up.
Right.
Now you got people who, because they don't fuck with Cynthia Erivo,
right,
let's just keep it a buck.
That's what all this,
because of that, they are now trying to be the people who lie on movies for a living, who promote lies on movies, who embellish the flaws of a movie to the point of being like, it's unwatchable, it's terrible. And it's such an overreaction for me that it's just a huge turnoff. Mm-hmm. You know, only white people could like this. I'm not white, and none of you niggas can make me feel like a coon.
Come on.
So they have not made the nigga yet that's gonna make me feel like, oh man, I just love Master. Like, nah, I'm black. I enjoyed the movie. I don't think it's perfect, and I also am not falling for the peer pressure of fucking I gotta shit on this because my fellow people that's around me are shitting on this, many of which have not seen the movie. I saw someone suggest that the academics who like this movie, they're academics now. The other academics, I saw people be like, well, that's because they probably must be getting paid. Like, what? Who fucking pays somebody to like a movie as an academic? Like, what? That doesn't even make fucking sense. They don't even have pull like that. They just understand it's just a movie. It doesn't have to be perfect. And more than likely, they just are like, I'm okay not hating Cynthia Erivo enough to shit on this movie.
Right.
And they, and it's like, if you don't fall in line, it's the shit that's a huge turnoff with people for me.
Agreed.
They want you to fall in line so much they'll peer pressure you to talk snidely and rudely to you. And when you go, well, the fact is, this is what's happening. It's not just some bullshit that I'm making up. It's not convenient for them, you know. It's like, don't dismiss it. It's okay. Some things exist in the world and it's just the way it is, you know. So I'm glad it made its money, I'm glad people are starting to talk about the truth and the online campaign against this movie being full of shit. And I'm more disappointed and sad watching people that I want to have respect for fall for the shit. Like, peer pressure is a motherfucker. Just because we ain't grown and out of high school don't mean that we're truly out of that mentality of being pressured into, like, well, if my friends say something, I'm not gonna say it. And I mean, it's also sad to me that people felt they had to privately tell me they liked the film, because I'm like, damn, that, like, they have then these people that are lying, they won.
Right.
The people that are promoting this vitriol, they won. Cause they got people that are good people that aren't some fucking coons being like, damn, I gotta go in private to say I like something.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You never have to privately hate nothing.
And that's the thing that kills me. And one thing I know for me and me, and I haven't said this, but me, you've been talking about it, I've been slowly kind of pulling myself away from certain platforms. Like, I'm there, but my presence has diminished because I am a very happy, loving, going person, but you see so much chaos and you see so many lies and you see so much hurt and so much pain and so many angry people. It's like, anytime you say you like something, somebody has to always immediately come and tell you what's flawed with it and there's something wrong with it. And you're like, well, that's fine. You know, people go, we can agree to disagree. Can we? Can we? Can we? It's some shit that I'm like, okay, we don't agree, and no, you can't change my mind. But there are some things that are like just personal preferences, and people act like, if you don't like X-Men, you a coon. Bitch, what the fuck is wrong with you? How is everything a coon? How is you don't agree with me, you a coon? You don't agree with me, you shut. It doesn't logically make sense.
Well, you know, the thing for me, man, and I've been saying it on the show, I said when we off the show, I look at the people that really do sit out here and sow discord and hatred and a lot of negative stuff on purpose. They mm-hmm. They get a check to do it, and they are unbothered. They sleep every night, the sleep of the just. They don't give a fuck. And so I had to look at it like, I have to treat myself that way. I don't give a fuck. Nobody can intimidate me out of being like, yeah, I liked it. It was cool. Was it perfect? No. Was everything historically accurate? No. No fucking history movie is. And that's okay. And I don't fuck with whatever Cynthia Erivo said. That's not even it just ain't about that for me. But it's, you know, okay. It's that thing I talk about when people lie where they say shit like, Kanye West never was good or something. And you're like, y'all have to do this because something's wrong with you.
Right.
You're not able to engage the world in the way that it is presented. So you have to lie and create a false narrative because that's the only way that you're capable of seeing the world. Victim and victor, black and white, negative and positive, good and bad. And I'm like, the truth of the matter is, it's complex. You know, there's shit that happens when you're like, yeah, this is okay. This was not the Joker movie. Everyone argued for a fucking week over that movie. I went and saw the movie and was like, okay, it was good. It wasn't Like, I didn't know it's not incel shit. No, it's not sympathy for the alt-right. No, it's not any of those things. But people argued about it, never even saw it, because people aren't stepping out of the house to make these arguments anymore.
Right.
And when they do step out of the house and see, oh, these people online full of shit, they scared to fucking say, y'all full of shit.
Right. And it's one of those things where it's just wild and crazy when you just see the disconnect between reality and the reality that a lot of people make up online.
Yeah, David Dennis Jr. Wrote a piece that I actually did share, because I appreciated him talking about it. Why the Harriet controversy should have you terrified about the 2020 election.
Say that again.
We need to be more discerning, more truthful, and more responsible about the information we absorb and repeat. So he goes into the people that, you know, talked about the movie and had issues with it, that were being honest.
Right.
The Undefeated, Savoria McDonald wrote for The Undefeated about the movie being so safe, so unwilling to take risk, and so earnest in telling this audience that Tubman was an American hero that it forgets to give the woman a personality. I can get with some of that. These are the complaints I had about the movie.
Right. You're not saying it's critique free. You're just saying it ain't the bullshit that y'all on.
The issues I had with the movie were more about the fact that they made this movie for these niggas that are mad.
Right.
Which they shouldn't have done. You should never ever make, if you're a creative listening to my sound of my voice right now, don't make content for the people that's not really gonna fuck with you anyway.
Right.
It's never gonna work. They will move the goalpost to a new way to not fuck with you. Many of those people have internal work they need to work on themselves, especially when it comes to race movies, race content. There's always a way to say something was wrong, right? Black people fight for integration. You got people being like, we was better off in segregation, right? Black people get segregated and redlined in Chicago, and we're like, if we would have been able to integrate, it wouldn't have worked. It would have worked out. It wouldn't have been so bad. There's always a wrong.
Always.
Because as long as you make a choice, there's someone on the other side. You vote Democrat, people tell you you're on the plantation. Right? You vote third party, you don't vote, you threw your vote away. You vote Republican, we know you're a coon. That's just the way it is. Like, there's always gonna be some consequences to whatever action you take. So when you're creating something when you're creating a endeavor like this, just be authentic. Be authentic to the character. Be authentic to the vision. Don't listen. These motherfuckers will tell you stuff. And the truth of the matter is they are not ready to deal with the brutality and the history of slavery in the way that it was. Because in a lot of cases, they can't handle the psychological damage of it because they haven't fucking dealt with the trauma themselves. They're not reading about the shit. They weren't educated in school about the shit on purpose because they won't teach us.
Right.
And they're ashamed of it. They're ashamed of our ancestors in a way, of the pain they had to endure and survive. This stuff is always being unworked in all of us.
Right.
So when you look at it that way, you make the product not for the people that say, I need trigger warnings and I need no violence and I need this and I need cool. Because when you make it, they're going to say, well, it wasn't good enough. It didn't feel real. It wasn't this, because those people never were comfortable. They were always going to be like, this is not going to work for me. I don't want to see the movie. So this is just another reason not to see the fucking movie. You know, I talked to my man Chris about this on Facebook, and he was like, yeah, I don't like slavery movies because if they do it authentically, I go, it's too brutal and painful to watch. And if they don't, then I say, this is bullshit. It's letting white people off the hook. There's not enough brutality in it. You can't make a slave movie, quote unquote, for every black person.
No, you can't.
You just can't. You just got to tell the truth. And that's what bothered me about this movie. It's what bothers me about a lot of the newish mentality towards a lot of the brutality. Like, our new sensitivity to everyone's feelings is good in some cases because it's like, cool, we're being considerate.
Mm-hmm.
But it's bad in some cases because to tell a story, sometimes I need to tell you the raw shit.
Right.
I need to tell you how fucked up it was, and I need you to see that, and it's going to make you uncomfortable. You call it being triggered, but I want you to be uncomfortable. I want everyone watching this to be uncomfortable. You should be uncomfortable. You shouldn't, if you're comfortable with what I'm telling you, then you're gonna go, it's not real. You're gonna reject it. You don't even know that because you haven't examined yourself. So that's what happens is people, they end up being like, for me, I'm like, this movie just didn't really had a gut punch it could have had, because they were like, we don't want no like weird sexual shit, we don't want anything too physically violent, we're gonna make it PG-13, you know, we're gonna do our best to be like dangerous but not too dangerous, scary but not too scary, and that's cool, but it doesn't really convey what needs to happen. Like, sadly, Quentin Tarantino had a point when he was making Django, even though he's a dick, but he was like, my movie gonna show like the brutality of this shit, because everybody's fucking scared to show it, and it took his white privileged ass to do something like that, you know. But that's not a real slave movie, but you guys get my point. Like, he's like, I'm gonna show dogs being sicked on somebody, because that's what the fuck people was doing. I'm gonna show those collars they made slaves wear so they wouldn't run away, because that's what the fuck they really did do. And it's not gonna be concerned with making everybody feel good in that type of way. I'm gonna show you how evil this shit was, so that when this motherfucker start blowing off white women's heads, you're not gonna be like, wow, that was over the top. You're gonna be like, yes, blow a motherfucking head off. That's how they want you to feel, you know. So anyway, he goes on to talk about the criticism that wasn't founded. However, a new firestorm of controversy started over a series of posts spread across social media stating that the main protagonist of the movie was the fictionalized character Bigger Long. Bigger Long was played by my man Hollywood from Queen Sugar. Shout out to all the strays he caught over the weekend. Had no idea, huh?
I know, just minding your business.
My man was like, what? Why did my bitches? What did I do? A black bounty hunter hired by a slave owner to track down Tubman. This is a choice that is definitely worth interrogating, especially in the light of the fact that these black bounty hunters were extremely rare, if they even existed at all. Yeah, there's stories of black bounty hunters, slave catchers in that time. But they would have all been in the states where slavery was like, where they could be free. So it's kind of a oxymoron, because at that time, if you were in a territory hunting for slaves, it's the kind of place where they go, you a slave, like you look like a slave. So yeah, I didn't like that either. That compounded with the reportedly limited displays of white folks committing acts of violence against black people in the movie, offers to let white racial violence off the hook. Again, valid criticism that deserve interrogation. Yeah, but like I said, you know what else movie I watched? Me and Justin reviewed it, Native Son, the new version. And I empathize with the director of that, because they wanted to tell this story, but in this story, Bigger Thomas rapes the black woman that he goes on a run with or whatever. He also and that is such a like core to that character, because I just remember reading it and kind of hating him, like, you know. And it's complex. He's a victim, but he's also a abuser in the same scenario.
That happens a lot.
And you empathize with his plight because of racism, but then you also, you know, supposed to make this connection between all this pressure cracks him, and then he's doing evil as well, you know. And they took it out of the new movie. They, like, I think maybe he like tries to choke her or something like that, but they took it out. But and when they interviewed the director, he was like, you know, with the way people are talking about, you know, sexual assault being in movies and being like not needed for character development or gratuitous and stuff like that, which is essentially people saying, I don't ever want to see sexual assault used in anything,
right?
Cause they don't want to talk about it, but that's the truth. The truth is they don't ever want to see it,
right? And the thing is, it's very frustrating. I understand why people don't want to see it, because there's been so many people out there that have been sexually assaulted all across the board, all genders and races and all that stuff. But it's something that has to be on screen for the fact that that goes into the feelings, because people got to see the shit to be like, oh, that's actually brutal. Yes, I'm doing it to make you understand this shit is fucked up. That's why you got people going, well, you got raped. Oh, you jumped out the bushes. No, motherfucker, there's somebody I know that's in my proximity that actually took advantage of me. People have these myths of what fucking rape is because a lot of times they don't really understand, particularly men a lot of times, because most of the time, not all the time, they're the people out here raping. And then you got people, men that are never raped, that, you know, defend these people because they go, well, I don't rape, don't nobody rape. And you're like, bitch, that's not true.
Well, they want it both ways is what I'm saying. You can't have it both ways. And as a creative, you have to make a choice.
Right.
And the choice that you make is gonna get hit either way.
Mm-hmm.
So he decided to not put it in there, right? Which you would think people would be, some people are gonna applaud. Yes. Why? That's an unnecessary scene. We know he's bad. We don't need to see that, right? Okay, cool. He got blasted the other way. I was reading a woman who reviewed it and she was like, it doesn't really vilify and give you a full picture of bigger time. Now he's just a victim. You see what I'm saying? Like, now he's not, when he dies, you're just feeling sad for him in a way that is not really earned. Like he was also a guy who, as Prof Corey put in the chat, he goes down for what he didn't do to a white woman, but what he did to a black woman doesn't matter. And that's kind of the crux of that story. And yet they take it out, you know? And so you're gonna catch it either way. Now, and I'm sure that to a certain extent he felt probably like, well, damn, I'm a black man directing this movie. I don't want that smoke. Cool. Then you can't tell the story. Or if you make the decision, be prepared to deal with the fallout of people going, yeah, you let people off the hook. Because what I think happens, and this is just my personal mentality, when you take out brutality, when you take out assault, racism, things of this nature, you are letting the other side off the hook. And you can't you're never gonna make a safe slavery movie.
Nope.
So you're never gonna make a safe content involving sexuals. Mm-hmm. Only thing you can do is put that rated R on it and hey, this guy's this in it. Don't listen or don't watch or don't consume this product if you're a person that can't handle it.
Right, and that's the thing, is always a choice. Like you said, you put the rated R. The R is your warning. If you go in past that point, that's all on you,
and,
baby.
And also, a lot of these people are full of shit. The same people that say they couldn't handle sexual assault watched Game of Thrones to the fucking end.
Yes, they did.
They complained about every single instance of it, every time it was brought up, every plot device, and watched it. They swore all another day. And I said, there's something about that world though that people understood reflected our world. This is a gritty, dangerous, terrible world. Men are trash, blah blah blah. You're experiencing it, and then you want to take it out of the entertainment. Let's make the entertainment a reflection of what happens, right? So that people can't, like you said, so people can't deny it. And I just think that's important to the vision. So anyway, that was kind of my hang up with Harriet. Even still, I still enjoyed it. Like, I still gave it like a 3 out of 5. Like, you know, it was more like it had like a superhero-ish feel to it, rather. You know how superheroes, like, Batman don't kill. He'll beat your ass, but he won't kill you. You know, it had that type of vibe to it. But whatever, I think she was a superhero. So, yeah, so it says, but the tweets claiming that Long is the main villain or that there is a white savior narrative are patently false. Yeah, some even call the white man slave owner a love interest and said the feelings could have been requited. I'm so disgusted with these folks. You made that worse in your claim of doing this for blackness. You put that image in people's head as a lie. You're not so sure that the feelings aren't returned. Yes, you are. If you watch the movie, there's never, well, you know, Harriet does kind of like him. No. She's a married woman. She's not, there's nothing sexual going on there at all. There's no love angle. There's no romance. There's nothing to it. And that, to know that people did that because they knew the vast majority of people reading that shit won't see the movie and didn't see the movie and were really just looking to retweet something that says, here's a way to knock the movie to like make 7 connections to Cynthia Erivo.
Right.
It was so irresponsible. And you know one of the main people behind it? Tariq Nasheed. The other person spreading this false narrative is Tariq Nasheed, famed agent of anti-blackness and renowned hater of black women. Listening to a single where he says betrayal, very black person, you know. Yeah, and then you had the bots, the Russian, like, mm-hmm. fake black accounts.
They love this shit. They only pop up out of nowhere.
Right. They see you talking about Harry, they pop in your mentions. So my point is, a lot of the negativity was targeted negativity, and people that normally call that kind of shit out were like, not this time, I don't fuck with Cynthia Erivo.
Right. They don't keep the consistency.
They human. I get it. They human. Like, it's tempting when you in an agenda to just take any help you can get, you know, but I don't know. It was real bad. What's scary is so many people are falling for these ploys, despite the fact the movie opened to a promising $12 million weekend. I can't tell you how many Facebook posts and tweets I've seen echoing the made-up storylines. It's the same tactics that were used to largely succeeded in 2014 after Ferguson and 2016 that helped elect Donald Trump. It's absolutely mm-hmm. frightening that it's still working in 2019, 12 months from when we have to vote again.
Right.
Yeah. People don't vet shit that they agree with. That's the plain bottom line.
Yeah. Agreed.
So, yeah. Yeah, so, and it ain't just white people seeing the movie. It was no white people in my theater, so I can't imagine I'm the only motherfucker in the world that had that experience. And like I said, I know for a fact two or three people hit me up to be like, what was the problem again? I just saw the movie and I enjoyed it and my audience enjoyed it. Yeah, I know. Well, don't tell Black Twitter that. all right, let's see what else is happening in this world today. Airbnb bans party houses following 5 deaths at a Halloween party.
What do you mean? Are you actually rent the house just to have a party?
They rent, sometimes people rent out houses for parties.
Okay.
And in California, they had a Halloween house party and someone showed up and shot a bunch of people. 5 people died.
Ooh.
And this happened in Texas too. So they just decided that, they're not gonna do this. We're redoubling our efforts to combat unauthorized parties and get rid of abusive host and guest conduct, including conduct that leads to terrible events we saw in Orinda. We must do better. We will. This is unacceptable.
So they was like, look, if we make it where you can't have parties, we don't have to worry about this bullshit.
Yeah, they hopped on this faster than they did with racism.
Let me tell you why, because bitches, white folks, right?
No, I don't know. It could have been black people. I don't know who the fuck gets.
Okay.
Party gets shot up, man. That's across racial lines in America.
I mean,
white people shit. Like,
maybe just me, but you said they hopped on it fast. I'm wondering, why did you hop on this so fast? Like, will you hop on it so fast because the white folks got shot up? Y'all like,
I know one of the parties was black.
Okay.
I know that much. But some of the parties I've seen, like, there was a Latino kind of one. There was a Texas, it kind of had just everybody at the party. It wasn't just, like, white or black.
Okay.
I think it was for Texas A&M or something. I don't know, man. I just think they...
for the safety of everybody.
Yeah, I mean...
That makes sense.
And we live in a world now where people make you responsible for this shit, even if you're not.
Right.
So, you know, even if you're Airbnb... people are like, they rented out the house from you, fix it.
Right. It was like, nah, we're not going through no lawsuits, fuck that, no parties.
Yeah, so my guess is they were just like, we don't want people to put the shit on us and make us have to fucking start make shit. Maybe they're gonna get sued by some of the people, I don't know. Mm-hmm. They, you know, because once people get killed or people get injured, like, they tell your lawyer gonna be like, sue everyone involved to get as much as you can, and the court will sort it out. So I wouldn't be surprised if Airbnb isn't named in some of these lawsuits. Like, yeah,
and they was like, the fuck? No. If you having a party, you're going to be held accountable because we no longer do party houses.
And then, of course, people lie to get the house.
Right. Airbnb go, they may have been like, you rented this house out, but you didn't notify us that you was going to have a party here.
Like, you're supposed to be able to tell people, this is how many people will be in the house. But then what people do is, once they get it, they just do whatever the fuck they want. So apparently, the owner of the property got noise complaints from neighbors, so he checked his home security cameras and observed over a dozen people inside the house and called the police. They were on the way to go there to stop them, but before they got there, the neighbor already sent us a message saying there was a shooting. When we arrived there, the police were already there.
God damn.
Yep. So and this was a black one. Yeah, victims of the shooting is Tion Farley, Omar Taylor, Ramon Hill Jr., Javin County and Oceana Tompkins. So this is not white people. But yeah, they probably just don't want the liability of motherfuckers. Somebody get kicked out of a party, come back and shoot it up. That shit happens all the time. And they just like, we got to figure a way out to regulate this. Their ideal, Airbnb's ideal thing is, you're coming in town for a vacation or some shit, or you just need a place to stay, to like a hotel room. Not, you can throw a party in here.
Right. And the thing is, they probably have a good day. If you throw a party, you are responsible. Like, guarantee you, contracts are going to say that from now on. No party. You do this, this shit is on you.
Right. And then they, I know they didn't let people, like, people were renting them out to do porn, so they had to cut that shit out. Like,
yeah, I understand that too. You go, nope, we didn't sign up for this either.
John Witherspoon died at age 77 over the weekend.
That's sad.
You guys, they know him as Pops. He's granddad in Boondocks. He's
I didn't realize that was his voice. It sound nothing like him.
What? That sounds exactly like John Witherspoon. Granddad from Boondocks. He sounds just, Karen, get out of here. What? Nothing like him. John Witherspoon sound like John Witherspoon in everything. He basically just played John Witherspoon at this point.
He basically just played John Witherspoon.
Ain't no, yeah, like, that's, that, come on, man. What? I can't believe you said that. But yeah, he was, the dad in, Boomerang.
And Friday.
Yep, Friday.
He's had a lot of different roles.
Yeah, so, I don't know, man. That sucks that, he died. You know. That was my
oh
man.
I forgot he was a Soul Plane.
Yep. Yeah, well, I mean, it's not like Soul Plane was good. Come on, guys, what are y'all doing? I mentioned like four good things, and don't forget the bad ones too. He was on the Wayans Brothers, that was good.
He was in everything, like, yeah. When I say everything, if it was black, he was somewhere around, most likely.
Yeah, so
I didn't even know he did YouTube cooking channels. I mean, cooking, I didn't know that.
Yep. He also was in my show Black Jesus, so I don't know. I don't know what they're gonna do without him in Black Jesus, man. That was my joint, man. They lost Charlie Murphy last season. Now he lost John Witherspoon. I know they're supposed to be bringing Boondocks back. I don't know if it's done
I
don't know if it's done yet, but yeah, Boondocks are no granddad. I just don't know, you know. Yeah, somebody brought up he's in Hollywood Shuffle. He was in everything, man. Ho gotta eat too. He had the hoe cakes. What was that? Winky Dinky Dog, was that the name? God, that's my fucking movie, y'all.
Ow. You having that dream where you made the white people riot, weren't you?
But I was telling the truth.
How many times have I told you, you better not even dream about telling white folk the truth? You understand me?
That don't sound like him to you, Karen?
It does.
Come on now. I'll tell you what's surprising, that Huey and Riley are both voiced by Regina King.
Now that was a
shock for me. I was like, what?
By both of them?
How? Like, first of all, both of them sound distinctly different, which is crazy. And neither of them sound like Regina King to me. I still can't make it out.
Yeah, I think one of my favorite episodes from Boondocks, don't ask me why this cracks me up, when a white teacher cracked up from Riley because he calls everything a nigga, and a white teacher just finally snaps and be like, he calls everything a nigga. And he just goes through this long ass rant about him saying nigga. I fall out every time I see that shit.
Yeah, that is good. He said nigga can't have all fry.
Yes!
It sent chills down my spine every time I say it. Winky Dinky Dog. Bobby, say it with me. Come on. Winky Dinky Dog. Winky Dinky Dog. Yeah.
Oh, can you find that clip?
I'll try.
Yeah, I like that.
Mr. Jones, it's not that I'm not happy working here. It's just that acting allows me to be creative.
Bobby, you can create here. I created the Winky Dinky Dog.
Of course, it starts skipping.
And you know, he's been one of them people that's kind of old all my life, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yep. He's definitely old all my life. I'll see if I can find a teacher moment from Boondocks.
Winky dinky dog.
But yeah, man, it's sad that, you know, he lived a good long life, man. He was still working and still creating.
What I don't understand is,
sorry, I think he had just uploaded a video to his cooking show right before he passed. So here you go.
That if it's so offensive to them, then why do they say it over and over again?
So Riley said the N-word before you did that morning.
He says it every morning. He calls me nigga. He calls the other kids nigga. He calls himself nigga all the time. Nigga this, nigga that. Nigga please. Bitch nigga. Nigga, have you lost your mind? Nigga, check that hoe. Nigga, you bullshitting. Break yourself, nigga. He says it so much, I don't even notice it anymore. Last week in lunch, Riley says to a classmate, can a nigga borrow a french fry? And my first thought wasn't, oh my god, he said the word, the N-word. It was, now how is a nigga gonna borrow a fry? Nigga, is you gonna give it back? I'm telling you, my inside voice didn't talk like that before he got in my class.
So, yeah, that's a...
It's the teacher that cracked, because he kept saying nigga all the time.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so, rest in peace, man.
Yes.
Over it, Summer Walker says she's done with the music industry amid constant criticism from fans. Y'all don't deserve me. Now, I know what you're thinking, Karen. Who's Summer Walker?
You know that. That's the very first question.
You know, I haven't really listened to her music. I don't really know much about her other than she did a Tiny Desk concert.
Okay, she's solo artist, right? A group.
Solo?
Okay.
But she... She had her debut project Over It, which people seem to be liking. You know, it's that thing where people support her because she is a black woman, and you would think like, okay, this means that people kind of got her back, but that's not really the truth. Like, people kind of fuck with you until it's inconvenient.
Yep. Or until you, some people, until you get white gaze.
Yeah, but that's not what this is about. But yeah. And so she's been open about her struggles with anxiety and how she doesn't really like performing live. And I guess in her ideal mind, you know, she was going to be a person that kind of either was able to do this in the studio or, you know, kind of do this in some controlled environments. And if you deal with actual anxiety or clinical like mental health issues and stuff, sometimes it's just not a good, there's not a good solution. And so, you know, of course they're gonna try to get her to do it. I mean, you want her to tour, you want that money. Mm-hmm. You know, shit, artists now mostly make money from the tour, so
yep,
you know, you almost have to do these things. And so she did Tiny Desk and she looked so uncomfortable and people were like, you know, she, this is bad, this is terrible. Okay, people bring up her anxiety, fuck that shit, then quit, don't do it, then don't do the job. Like, I'm like, all right, so she's supposed to give up her career unfortunately because of this. Cool. She also had a video or something on Instagram where she talked about how she takes essentially what grandmama would call a hoe bath.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she doesn't always, like, she takes baths instead of showers and shit,
right?
And she'll just, like, people said something, I don't know the whole details, like she washed with the pedicure water or some shit, I don't know. But what I thought when I heard that was, we could be talking about somebody dealing with some mental health issues.
Right.
Hygiene and mental health are very serious shit. And us of the privilege of not having to worry about those struggles.
Right.
We just go, fuck you, you dirty motherfucker.
Right.
Cause it's the easiest thing in the world for us, and we love dunking on people when we can pat ourselves on the back for doing the most basic fucking shit.
Right.
Oh, I take a shower, I wash my legs, like, let me shit on you. Cool. I get it. People are just talking about the like, especially after that white people shit where they turned it into white people don't wash their legs in the shower and we get to mock white people and it's all white people, all y'all nasty now. Blah, blah. Like, some of it gets out of control though.
Right.
And the strays hit a lot of people that you might not mean to hit.
Mm-mm.
And so you have people, especially if you deal with mental health shit like depression, anxiety, some of these things stop you from doing the simple things like brushing your teeth,
right,
taking a shower,
combing your hair,
washing yourself, deodorant, smell, you know, mm-hmm, things that we, you know, take for granted.
Right.
And so every time one of these type of situations come up, I really just don't have shit to say, because mm-hmm, I'm like, I don't know that person. Like, that's one of those things where maybe she's young enough that she felt in this generation of we share everything, maybe she got caught up in that shit. I'm old enough to know you actually don't need to share everything. Mm-mm. And not everyone is out for, here for you. And so she did it enough, like she brought up these things, and like instead of people accepting like she's quirky or whatever, her own fans and people go to her Instagram, and anything she talks about, they mock her. She said she's been harshly criticized by fans who can't accept their differences and think she should participate in the Miss America Bad Bitch contest every day. Yeah, because that's what people want. That's why people gravitate towards Lizzo, is because she gives off this aura of I'm a bad bitch and it doesn't matter what y'all think, and people love that. But you know what else people supposedly love is vulnerability and honesty. So when Lizzo talks about dealing with depression, when she talked about that time she had to check herself in to make sure she was gonna be okay dealing with thoughts of suicide and shit, mm-hmm. a little less supportive of that, you know what I mean, a little less noticing that doesn't fit the narrative of 24/7 wake up every day I'm the baddest bitch in the world, doesn't necessarily make people feel as empowered, quote unquote, by her. So we kind of avoid those conversations, right? And you can definitely tell it with Lizzo, because when Lizzo says anything close to like fucked up on her social media, they go in on her. Like when she did the thing with the girl who she thought stole her meal, even when after she apologized, people still went in, you know. Even when Pops died, you know, she was like, you know, I'm sorry that he died, it's a real sad day, still gotta do this promo. And people was like, bitch, what, delete this, what are you trying to say? I'm like, that's a real feeling that people have, like, yeah, I'm sad, but I actually have to work too, and I'm not saying don't be sad, I'm saying this sucks and I still gotta fucking like go out and live my life.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's like a catch 22, because the reality of that is it's just so fucked up, because they don't, when it comes to celebrities, people want the celebrities to always be on but be truthful. That's not realistic. Mm-hmm. I can't always be on, because if I'm always on, you complain about how you don't know me and how I'm not real and how I'm fake and how everything about me is cookie cutter and all that shit. But from the outside looking in, celebrities that are like that, a lot of times, most of the time mentally, are better off because they're separated from y'all. Mm-hmm. Versus people that constantly share, because anything that they say, people take it and twist it and use it, almost like throw it back at them and use it against them like they're not people. And I don't know what the magic number is. I don't know if it's once you cross in the white gaze or whatever it is, people take celebrities and just strip them of their humanity. And this is an example of that.
Yeah, this comes after fans went in on the singer when she revealed she hates showers, with a picture of a bassin filled with face wash wipes, a foaming bath product, micellar water, and baby oil gel. She later clarified that she hates showers because she prefers to take baths. That don't matter. You nasty now, because the joke is more important than the truth.
The jokes.
And more important than knowing you deal with anxiety and mental health issues and shit. It don't matter. Mm-mm. It don't matter. We can dunk on you. We can't stop ourselves from dunking on you. That's the fucking point. Mm-hmm. You're a celebrity and we're dunking on you. It's just let it happen. That's how everybody is. So when she fucking has a point and says, I can't deal with this. Nah, for real though, I decided y'all don't deserve me, lol. I knew from day one I was too real for this shit. Y'all can have the music and I'ma just head out. Fuck the interviews, photo shoots, videos, and really the shows too. I'll finish this tour out though. I'm just a regular person, nothing more, lol. People got this fame shit fucked up. I've been me from day one. I'm not about to start acting different, talking different, treating people different, or looking different. People really expect too much from you. Every day, everything isn't a Miss America Bad Bitch contest, and I don't feel the need to put others down to stay relevant. People really just disconnect affected, hiding behind these apps, these filters, these clothes, the makeup, the hair, lol, a lot of it. Y'all need to step back and get into yourselves from a different perspective. Take the same amount of time that you normally do to prepare and improve your physical, but apply it to your spirit and become comfortable with the real you, whoever that may be, as long as you're not hurting anyone. That same amount of time you take to chase the bag, try putting that same amount of energy into patience, acceptance, understanding, self-awareness, self-love. But I know no one gives a shit about what I'm saying, so yeah, peace, love, and light. Peace emoji, angel emoji.
That agreed. I agree with her comment.
Yep.
But like she says, she know that the people that are making these posts, they don't give a fuck, and they will never take the time to self-reflect and ask themselves why. And it's not about fixing me, because fixing me will require work. It's easier to go at you, because that literally requires no work.
Yeah, man. I don't know,
fixing me mean I got to change.
So it's just crazy that once the shit is rolling, you can't unroll it. So like, once people start saying she was nasty and stank and she washed her face with towels or whatever the fuck, if she goes, that's not what I meant, I'm saying I take baths, not showers. Oh no, bitch, you dirty, you nasty. Like it's the weirdest shit, because whenever there's a moment where you have to have empathy, these motherfuckers are so fake with their empathy. Mm-hmm. I don't trust nobody off of the, like, I remember I put a thing on my Facebook to be like, do y'all view, like, being on my page and shit, are y'all just like, because I know I don't have 2,000 friends.
Mm-mm.
I'm like, do y'all feel like I'm a celebrity? Because I don't feel like a celebrity.
No, sir.
I still feel like me. Nothing's really changed in my life to the mm-mm. point where I should feel like a celebrity. I don't go to the grocery store and somebody wants a selfie. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. I'm living my life, doing all the regular shit. I still drive a motherfucking Altima. Like, this is nothing over here that is making people have to be like, this nigga right here.
Right.
Like, oh my God, he pulled up in the, he got the Altima with the suicide doors. Like, nah, mm-hmm. I'm just a, so for me personally, I'm doing what I love, but that's where it ends. Like, that's mm-hmm. what makes me happy. I have a small dream. And I'm living it.
Right.
But I did a poll to be like, do y'all see me that way? And they were overwhelmingly like, yeah, you're a celebrity too. And I was thinking to myself, I have to conduct myself differently, because
same.
I've been sitting here thinking I can just live my life and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But now I look around and I'm like, there's people around me that's looking at me like entertainment only. And the truest, and I don't mean this as an insult to any of our fans, the truest statement is, as long as we doing and giving you the product that you want, that's the only usefulness we have.
Right.
If that stops, there is no relationship.
Right. There is no,
yeah. Let me have an opinion you don't like. Let me disagree with you in public on my page. You know, share something deeply personal or something, and see how you I'm not your family, I'm not your friend, I'm just a guy, and you know, and so you can opt in and out of my life at any point in time. There's no real reciprocation to that relationship,
right?
Without, you know, and what we have is the illusion of a personal connection, because I'm the one doing all the sharing, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know when and where you're gonna pop in and out, right? Mm-hmm. And that's fine,
right?
I'm comfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, anytime someone is anything less than fucking grateful for this attention, or for these people that, you know, go over the line, they mocked her, they talk shit about her, they call her nasty and stinking shit, and then they want her to thank them for it. Like, well, thank you guys for coming to my Instagram page and clicking like, nah, I'm a person and I can leave this shit behind, rather than like ruin my fucking mentality for it. And a lot of the stuff she said, it was real. A lot of you only talk like this to people because you are behind a fucking screen,
right?
You don't walk up to people and just start being like, you must be stank and nasty. Like, you don't do that. You talk that way in your space, on your platform, which is everybody's online platform now. So yeah, man, I feel, and I, in a way, it reminds me of Lauryn Hill. Like, Lauryn Hill didn't have the career that a lot of people projected her to have, partially because she rejected a lot of this shit. She could have been, you know what, look, people rapping about sucking dick, I'm gonna put on the motherfucking thong, let me go ahead and put the guitar down and start rapping all the time, no more singing. She could have done that, and she was like, nah, I'm gonna just raise my kids and shit. I don't want to do this, you know. And we mock her and go for years now, people still go at her for that, you know. But that was the decision she ultimately made. If you read any of the interviews, that's what it's about. I don't know if Summer is really done, you know. I think when you're young and with social media's ebbs and flows, maybe she'll change her mind or something. I don't know her like that. Mm-hmm. But and I don't even know her work like that, like, mm-hmm. I'm not, this is just me talking about a human being here.
Correct.
I did see the conversations around it, and it's appalling to just see how cold people can be because it's about that product.
Right, and there's also one of the things too. I remember when you asked that, and for me, it also changed my perspective too on how I view things, how I interact with people online, because we've seen it in most ways. Most people, most of our fans are very reasonable. They're not crazy. They understand. They respect our space and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's a knock against them. But let us stop putting out this show, Karen. That's not how it works. It's a job.
I
see what I'm saying? That's my point. Right. Now, I'm not fussing at you. I'm saying my point is, it's a job.
Right. And the thing is, it's an agreement. We put out a product, you listen to the product. Once we stop putting out the product, you stop listening. That's the end of the contract. So that part I understand. But in the group of wonderful people, there are people that come that look at us as though we're just, because we're entertainment for everybody, please don't get me wrong. Us, the relationship between us and the fans is entertainment first, foremost, before anything else in most situations. So I understand that. It's just that you have these people that come along, and it's like piggyback on what you said, it's like you treat us as though anything we say can be taken in the wrong context and going at. So I understand how she feels, because some of that stuff has happened to us. So that's why I know for sometimes when we talk about certain celebrities, we have compassion, and some of the fans get mad and upset and don't understand it. That's because we've been on the other side of that.
But not just before that, I've always been like, well, I actually don't know, because this is a person I'm talking about. I'm not talking about a fucking product.
Mm-mm.
Talking about a human being. And there's no blueprint on how to handle this shit.
No, it's not.
Motherfuckers will talk shit about you, and then you kill yourself and be like, man, people were too hard on them. Nigga, you one of the people. You know what I mean? Like, that's the kind of shit that happens. So, mm-hmm. We were just talking about, and I think social media and the accessibility of these stars and these celebrities is starting to have an effect. Cupcake, we talked about her quitting.
Mm-hmm.
She quit because, and you know, it was sad to hear her quit because her music was very sex positive and fun and all this shit. And she quit because people kept hitting her like, you're irresponsible, you're fucking up the youth, kids be going to your concert. And it got to her enough to be like, I'm not gonna do this thing I love anymore. I quit. Cause you guys are right. You guys won. And you know that was a constant thing she had to deal with. So it's that, like, I think that's what happens when you don't consider the person on the other side of this to be a real person.
Correct.
And then when they turn into a real person and say, I don't want to do this, it's not fair to be hoisted upon this fucking this thing. And like, someone was arguing with me today. Well, they were arguing, I wasn't arguing, but this guy was like, we did that because we know she's not ready and she need to quit or whatever. I was like, okay, like, I'm sure y'all drug her and talked about how nasty she was out of the goodness of your hearts.
Come on.
So sweet, such good people. And then he was like, we gotta know what it takes to be famous and to deal with that platform. Don't do it if you're not ready. I said, did your 324 followers prepare you for fame now? Like, what the fuck do you know? You're nobody. No, we don't know because we're not on that level, dog. Like, right. You're not, everyone keeps thinking there's a switch you hit when you're like, I'm famous now, and then everything just rolls off your back. People can lie about you and say, it's always gonna bother you if you're a fucking person.
Right.
You know, it takes a supreme level of fucking knowing yourself and all that stuff. And that's the stuff she was talking about. And I totally agree with the stuff when she talks mm-hmm. about getting to yourself, because that's what's more important. Like, it, all this shit is, everything else is, it, it's kind of bullshit. But yes, people also talked about her hair. Like, why you wear your hair like that?
Wow.
Yes, because they criticize her freeform faux locks. According to the singer, people have been brainwashed by European beauty standards, so that's why they're not accepting of her bangs and dreadlock hairstyle. I'm appalled, she began. Look, it's good to cease. It's good to cease. It's got to stop. Black women, I'm talking to you, because it's not white women. It's not Latin, not Latino. It's not Native American. I checked. It's y'all. The self-hate is ridiculous. Why do y'all hate yourself so much? Why do you hate your texture? Why do you hate your culture? Why do you hate your history? Locks used to present a level of power and strength and devotion to purity, and now you look at it as scummy? How did you get so brainwashed? How did your mindset become so tainted? Like, I don't understand. I used to change my hair 2 or 3 times a week. Nobody said anything. Maybe a bitch tried to zoom in on my lace, but that's it. Now it's people like personally offended. Take that shit out. Don't come to my city. If the ancestors knew, they would fire you up. So.
And, you know, a lot of times people don't, they put it like this. Nobody ever reads this replies. And everybody act like, we'll just take it. Mm-mm. Read the replies. And then sometimes you will understand, you know, why. And it's one of those things, too, where, yeah, for her, and which I understand for a lot of people, you go, hey, you look just like me. The fuck is this?
It just sounds like she going through it, man. Mm-hmm. And that's also one of those things you would hope you could ignore or let go, but when it's a constant deluge in everything you do, you know, people don't, what's, you know what it is? You're right, Karen. A lot of it is just they not never gonna be on the other side of it, so people feel safe to do this shit.
Right.
Because most of the people that are on the people's Instagrams talking crazy are craving interaction.
Right.
Like they wish people were coming on their Instagram talking to them. And so they can't imagine a world where you actually say, that's enough interaction, that's a little too much, and some of these things y'all are saying is just downright fucked up, and I'm not happy just because you're thinking of me. I actually wish you would stop.
Right, and that's the thing. It has to be balanced, and maybe this is just the way I view it, and I will forever view it like this. People that have never been in the spotlight, people that have always been behind computers, people that have always been like numbers, people that, and I don't mean this in a bad way, people that have always been mediocre, they've never done anything to stand out. They don't have a voice outside of just a regular everyday life. Nobody's looking for them. Nobody's watching them. Nobody's wanting to see what they do. Like you just kind of wash within the water. And then you have these people that kind of rise above that. And the people that rise above that, sometimes I'm just doing what I love and it just happens to turn into me being famous. People make the assumption that just because you're there, you want it to be there. That's not true. I don't know why people make that connection. I just happen to be really good at something and I get paid for something that I'm really good at. I didn't get expected to be thrown into a spotlight where I'm just 24/7 by motherfuckers that don't know me. I did not expect this.
And what's wrong with being human and getting that and being like, actually, even though I expected it, it's worse than I thought.
Right.
Or I changed my mind. I don't want to deal with this. What's wrong with that?
I don't think it's
people act like it, you know what I'm saying? People act like you owe them or some shit. Like, nah, maybe I didn't know you motherfuckers were gonna be talking about my fucking children every day. Now I don't want to do it no more, guys. Guess what? And most of you wouldn't either. But yeah, I don't know, man. It just, I hate to see what happened to her, and I don't even listen to her music like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know what problematic thing she must have said at
right.
some point. I don't know any of this shit. Just as a human being, I just didn't have much to say about it online because I was like, you know, between knowing she has mental health issues and then people, but you know, I said the same thing about Kanye and people just aren't willing to hear it. People can't, I do find what he's saying with his platform to be dangerous. I'm not going to try to knock that. But I also don't know how much of it is related to just his mental health. His family came out, Kim Kardashian came out just last week and said she's worried about his mental health and him going on this tour. We know a lot of mentally ill people are very attracted to religious stuff and religiosity because of all the, you know, power and quote unquote stuff there. This man may not be well. And because he's Kanye West and because people are entertained by or entertained by being disgusted by him, you can't even make the discussion. You can't even have a discussion of like, what if he ain't well? You know what I'm saying? No, we can't do that. Like, we have to imagine him he's just an evil man. That's the only thing, because if we do anything more than that, it becomes too complicated for our you know, 140 characters.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, for most people, it has to fit a narrative. Like, if it doesn't fit the narrative, you know, fuck it. You know, people ignore shit that don't fit the narrative, yeah, or rearrange shit that don't fit the narrative.
And I don't know what's gonna happen to Summer Walker. I'm not even saying she's supposed to make me, I don't know. She may find, like, something else to do in the industry, mm-hmm, or in a completely different, like, she may just be like, I'm gonna go work at fucking Whole Foods. Like, whatever helps you find your peace. Like, sometimes you have to do shit to find out it's not for you. And then sometimes you can make adjustments to find out what is for you. I know Sia, Sia, whatever her name is, I know she has, like, some anxiety issues, and that's why she wore that hat, the helmet of hair thing that she's made iconic or whatever. So, you know, people find different ways to cope. I just, when I see the, like, online harassment of somebody, I'm like, now did it have to go that far?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, man, some people just need their ass kicked, man. It's just weird. Like, I'm not saying you gotta like this person, but damn, it's just like, you see people arguing about it, going back and forth, finding people that are like, well, I don't have a problem with it. No, nigga, you, like, everyone fighting with each other is just ridiculous sometimes. All right, let's move it to our segments, guys.
Let's do it.
I've been talking for a while, gotta start gonna wrap this up. I did want to do a little bit of fucking with black people.
Four minutes.
Okay, cool. Matter of fact, I'm gonna pause and go to the next segment. All right, and we are back and ready to do some fucking with black people.
Just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people.
That's right, guys. It's time to play the game we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game, we go all around the globe. We find different autos, make us feel fuck with the wheel sign point scores from 0 to 100, intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. All right. Let's get into it.
Mm-hmm.
Teacher put on leave for wearing blackface to imitate Common on Halloween.
I'm a rapper Common?
Yes. He was wearing a white turtleneck and a black jacket, as Common did in the Microsoft commercial last year.
Okay.
So he literally was not just imitating Common. He was imitating the Common that does. And AI.
That's all he had to do, is just walk around and start doing that. People go, oh, you Common.
Mm-hmm. He chose to wear blackface and paint blackface paint and satirically imitate a TV commercial and a well-known national social activist of the African-American community, said school board president Chris Norwood, who was an African-American. Ooh, you done fucked up. Norwood said the staff members' actions were inappropriate, unprofessional, and insensitive, and they asked superintendent to ensure an immediate investigation is conducted. Yeah, that's why do white people have to go for the accuracy of the skin color? You know, now I won't front, I do want to see his impression of it.
I mean, do you have a pic?
I do have the picture taken from a ways away, but I wanted to see I wanted to see him do the actual, like, and AI and computers is design, you know, because it was like a spoken word commercial. It didn't really make sense.
Mm-mm.
Cosmic entities, planes crashing, earthquakes, AI.
Yep.
Like, what is AI gonna do exactly?
That's all you had to do. And I'd be like, oh yeah, Coming.
Microsoft and AI. Oh, okay. So where do I go? Do I go down to Best Buy and pick up some AI, or
I mean, is AI there?
I'll take two AIs.
Come on.
Can I get two, please? Yeah, well, I still don't know what that fucking commercial was selling me.
Mm-mm.
But yeah, the teacher decided to go to class and as blackface for Halloween. At this point, I mean,
you could have came in your regular ass clothes, but like, nope, well, I'm not doing the costume.
You really do have to ask how they don't know. Wait, trending in the United States, Lizzo is over party. Man, what the fuck? What happened? Oh, they went from loving her to hating her so fast.
Opportunities limitless. Possibilities senseless. What will you do? Millions of people, not enough to eat. what will we do? With AI, Microsoft technology, the future is up to you. You can do it. With AI, the future will blow your mind.
That's good. That was real good.
Possibility senseless. What will you do? Millions of people, not enough to eat. What will we do? With AI, Microsoft technology, the future is up to you. You can do it. With AI, the future will blow your mind.
That's horrible.
With AI.
Oh my god. That's not even close to a good comment.
And he got a beat too. This is hilarious.
That is horrible. The black faces that look like comment. Oh, who put the beat under it?
Right? That's what, did he do this or did the person record do this?
That sounds like my version of the commercial, because I can't remember what the commercial said. Millions of people can't eat. With AI, people can get some food. Earthquakes and disasters and tornadoes and shit.
With AI.
With AI and Microsoft computers. And God damn, bruh.
That's good.
Wow. Well, zero to your cars, Karen.
A 50. Cause you made me laugh and it was such a terrible accent.
I wonder why. What does he not know? Blackface is offensive, or did he just think my comment is so on point? I'm like Robert Downey Jr. in Tropic Thunder.
Oh, can't nobody out
with my shit. Like,
nah, can't nobody outdo him.
They gonna think I am comment. Okay. I have figured a way to be loud but still lack all emotional range in my voice.
That made me laugh. If you can make me laugh at your racism, at least you're being creative.
Wow. Yeah, I still give it 100.
Oh, that's good.
Those poor kids in the classroom, man.
Oh yeah, I'm so much.
I hope there were no black kids in there. God damn. Shout out to who recorded that. You the real MVP,
ain't you though?
Oh god, god.
Y'all might be in for a treat. You know, back before the war broke out, I was a saucier in San Antonio. I bet I could call up some of them greens. Yeah, doing some crawfish out the patty, yo. I made us some crab apples for dessert now, movie. Yeah? Hey, yeah.
Oh, God, I love that fucking movie.
I don't know how people hate that movie or that portrayal. It's so good.
That movie is the fucking best.
Oh man. Oh.
Call up some of them greens.
I don't even see. I'm looking out here to find out what the Lizzo is over party.
Oh, I don't know.
And I don't see it. It's trending because it's not over. It's just a bunch of people being like it's not over.
I have no idea.
I'm confused and controversy in the song. I don't know. What is everybody mad about? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, they're saying because the Billboard chart, I guess she did a song with Ariana Grande.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. And
I like Ariana.
The Billboard chart didn't include Ariana's name on the song they put out together or something.
Oh, her last album is a bop. Shout out to What's the Tea.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm glad she's okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so yeah, that was 100 for me, 50 for Karen. And AI.
Yes.
Tyler Perry Studios is hosting the 2019 Miss Universe pageant.
And nigga, he had Bad Boys 2 and Coming to America.
Dolomite. I think it was Coming to America, not Dolomite is my name. Because that's what Wesley Snipes in.
Oh.
Unless he ain't coming to America as well.
I don't know, but I knew.
They like the cast when Dolomite is my name. You haven't seen it yet.
Okay.
But, yeah, and Bad Boys for Life were filming in the same studio, Tyler Perry.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Blackness!
Coming to America and Dolomite.
Yep. And then, of course, they're going to
be... Oh, yeah, Wes isn't coming to America. That's what I thought. So, yeah, it is coming to America and Bad Boys.
Okay. Well, my bad. I wasn't sure. But, yeah, all them same people was also in Dolomite Is My Name.
Ah, okay.
So.
Hey, a presidential debate.
Presidential debate and Miss Universe pageant. Tyler making moves.
You know what? I know them folks on the West Coast is shaking in their boots. Just like, oh, shit.
Yeah, he making studio powerhouse moves.
Yeah, they was like, and a lot of places like, now we ain't got to go all, particularly if you in New York or like on this coast, you're like, we don't have to, we can save money. We don't have to fucking go all the way to the West Coast to do everything.
0 to 100?
Oh, I'm not fucked with at all. He get bonus points.
Yeah, 0 for me as well.
Oh, did I say 100? I meant 0.
Oh, okay. Yeah, 0 for me. Let's see. Let's go to Guess the Race. All right, let's move it to something fun.
You know what? I like the fact that he making it a mecca for black people and helping everybody and stuff like that. And it's one of those things where, to me, I'm like, if you mad, just be mad.
Yeah, I don't care. Mm-mm. No, I don't care. I don't have to care. So if people don't fuck with him, that cool, they got their reasons and they gonna forever be mad. He ain't going nowhere. So
I'm gonna go to the studio and do a tour.
Yeah, I've heard the reasons, and I'm not even saying they're not valid. I'm just not joining in. I don't actually give a fuck. Like, cool. So and that shouldn't stop you from giving a fuck. Do your thing. All right, let's get into some Guess the Race.
Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time.
That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all the podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, Karen and the chat room, to guess the race. And of course, everybody's plan is a racist. All right, let's get into it. The first one on the docket, the Brevard County's Brevard County Sheriff's Office. What does it matter? Florida. arrested a man accused of leaving a child alone in a haunted house on Halloween.
Oh, poor baby. How old was the baby?
We'll get to that. Charles Jones was arrested late Thursday night after he turned himself in. According to a report, the little girl was left in the haunted house on Needle Boulevard in Merritt Island. Deputies were called to the home for the child that was found unsupervised and scared. The caller reportedly watched the child for over an hour while others looked in the haunted house and around the neighborhood for her parents. Deputies say Jones left the girl unattended with no reasonable effort to provide care for her for over 2 hours, nor did he go back to the haunted house or call police. Deputies attempted to contact him, eventually got a call from Jones saying he'd meet the deputies at the precinct. He was booked in jail on $3,000 bond. They did not say the age of the little girl. So Karen guessed the race of Charles Jones.
Charles Jones. I'm gonna go black.
Karen's going with black on this one. Let's check the chat room and see what they believe the race is. Black says Raven. Okay, one who babysits his own kids. Black, fuck them kids. Black, white. Devin Miles daddy, black. The correct answer is, Karen, you got it right, he was black.
I'm surprised that anyone like, we found him at the local strip club.
of course, some of you got it wrong. Someone said white, they got it wrong. Yeah, when they called him about the kid.
I hate to say it. I hope I don't sound ridiculous. I don't know who this man is. I mean, he could be walking down the street. I wouldn't know a thing. Sorry to this man.
That poor baby. He was like, I'm gonna permanently get rid of my child support. Maybe if I lose, I don't got to pay.
Sorry to this baby. I have no idea who this baby is. I hate to admit it.
Or the mama.
Alabama duo is charged with foul play after deputies allegedly find stolen turkeys in a cage.
Damn, we getting ready for Thanksgiving, ain't we?
Suspected foul play involving stolen live turkeys has led to the arrest of two suspected bird bandits, according to Alabama Sheriff's Office. Jonathan Thomas Howell and Glenn Ray Carter, Howell's 42, Carter's 58, were arrested on charges related to the theft of the turkeys, as well as to the thefts of antique furniture, a stove, and two air conditioners.
Oh, shit!
Yeah, wanted some real drive turkeys. We were happy to be able to recover these items from the owners. It's sad that some people spend their time stealing instead of earning an honest living. Howell of Ider, Alabama, and Carter of Henniger, Alabama, were arrested after an investigation that began when deputies discovered a burned boat near Ider several months ago. Weldon's office said the boat had been stolen out of Jackson County. They did all this crime together. You know what they say, Karen? Birds of a feather. Tip to officials in connection with that crime led investigators to an address in Henniger where they found multiple live turkeys in a cage. The turkeys had been reported stolen from another Henniger residence, it said. Maybe they're just trying to free the turkeys.
I guess what cage free?
It was cage free, alright. Alright, Karen. Guess the race of Jonathan Thomas Howell and Glenn Ray Carter. Both the same race.
Oh, white. They was gobbling it up. I could help myself.
It's all right. All right, let's go to the chat and see what they say. Bird bandits, but they ain't on CP time. White turkey for the whole neighborhood for Thanksgiving, nigga. Black white, when asked for a comment, they said brr. Wait. Brr. What happened to them turkeys? White. All those towns are small towns, and KKK is three names white. Too many names not to be white. They were about to deep fry them turkeys. So is that black? I don't know. White because we steal chickens, not turkeys. The correct.
the fuck
is wrong with our chat room?
We steal chickens, not turkeys. That's good.
we get canceled, this is really gonna be the chat room. It's right? Not gonna be us.
They're gonna be like, them goddamn guess the racist.
Everybody said white. You got it right. Couple people did say black though. And of course Spotify's moving slow now. I'll try to put it on screen. So you guys That's them right there, guys. I guess they thought they were gonna get away with it, guys, but apparently it wasn't all gravy. All right, let's go to the bonus round.
They wouldn't made out of enough stuffing to get the job done right.
I guess.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I know you had to get one.
I had to.
It's all good. All right, let's go to the bonus round.
They didn't know how to cut the giblets right.
What? Oh, not for that one. That was we. Why you had to go one more? Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. Double the points, double the race, and the bonus round against the race. So far, Karen is a rare 2 for 2. But will she be able to make it in the bonus round? Let's find out, guys.
I will try. My terrible puns.
All right, let's see here. What was I thought I had? Oh, here's one. A man is on trial for his fiance's murder after a KFC receipt links him to the killing.
Oh shit!
An Oregon man is on trial in the murder of his Russian bride-to-be after investigators found a KFC receipt allegedly linking him to her execution-style death. William Chase Hargrove, 29, wow, 29, okay, appeared Friday in Benton County Court, where he's charged in the killing of Anna Repkina, a 27-year-old woman found shot to death in April 2017, the Corvallis Gazette Times reported. Prosecutors allege Hargrove was involved in an interesting love triangle relationship with Repkina, whom he met online and convinced to move from Moscow to Oregon. But he was also in a long-term relationship with another woman, Michelle Chavez, who gave him an ultimatum to break up with Repkina. It was either her or the other, and he made a decision. Senior Deputy District Attorney Amy Matsuko said, told the Associated Press in an interview, he took the victim out on a rather desolate logging road, and she was found shot in the back of the head, execution style. What happened to just breaking up?
I guess that's not an option anymore.
You couldn't just block her on Twitter and like
be you could just mute her.
Couldn't make passive aggressive Facebook statuses like everybody else. There were no clues about Repkina's identity when her corpse was found, other than in a KFC bag near her body. Inside the takeout bag, there was a receipt for the order under the name Kevin Thomas. Authorities tracked down Thomas, who recalled having a meal with Hargrove. Thomas claimed that he let Hargrove borrow his shotgun, but he had not returned the weapon. Hargrove was arrested and held without bail in Repkina's murder, but insisted that his lover was the one responsible. Mr. Hargrove has always maintained that he did not kill his fiance. The evidence in the trial will clearly show that Michelle Chavez murdered Anna Repkina. Chavez has denied any role in the slaying, though she admits that she was jealous of Repkina. Oh wow, the trial is expected to last through November. Hate to be on that jury.
Wow,
guess the race of William Chase Hargrove, Karen.
Oh, white. Now if you'd have said churches or the chicken shack,
Popeyes,
right?
Bojangles maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Three names, non-black state, Popeyes equal white. KFC, black folks know what's not, that's not real chicken. White dudes ain't shit either. White 31 flavors of fiancés, white. White. Colonel Sanders. The Colonel Sanders. Colonel Sanders. Y'all got it right. I'm gonna be honest. Most shocking part of this motherfucker's 29. I looked down, I said, oh man.
Oh, she's pretty.
You know time's harder in Russia. She came over here for that.
End up fucking dying.
In Oregon, of all places.
Oregon, my nigga.
To be the side chick there. This Shrek ass nigga got the nerve to kill somebody.
Right. I'm going to Oregon.
Damn, you should just be happy two people wanted that dick. Bruh, what are you doing? People, wow. But man, boy, we have all the confidence in the world, man. Alright, let's get to the final thing, guys. Let's do some sword ratchetness, guys. Florida man fatally shot while charging at deputy with a sword. Authorities in Florida say a man was fatally shot after he charged at the deputy with a sword, yelling, "Shoot me!"
Okay.
Yeah, you ain't gotta ask the cops twice. Mm-mm. Unless you, well, actually he was white, so.
He probably
did have to ask twice. I mean, they definitely shot him. He was fatally shot.
Okay.
That was the headline.
My bad.
The Indian, I know, but you had to ask, because when I said he was white, it's like, well, wait a minute. What?
Right, I was like, is he still alive?
Normally they'd be like, let him stab me, and then when he's stabbing me, I'll hug the pain out of him. The Indian River County Sheriff's Office said the deputies deployed 4 taser cartridges. See?
Oh, what kind of drugs was he on?
First of all, how do I know?
Bitches.
How do you knew they did everything to save this man's life.
They tackle him, they tase him.
Thank God he wasn't an innocent black woman playing video games on a Friday night with a nephew.
Right there, them with rubber bullets.
What? Yeah, they deployed 4 taser cartridges and 4 beanbag rounds, and it didn't have any effect on them.
He was on some good shit.
Darius was making their 3rd call to the home, who they say he appeared to be intoxicated or on drugs, to investigate threats he had made to another person. That's when it escalated. They said in a statement Saturday, Kiefer apparently wanted to be killed by law enforcement. He forced deputies' hands, required them to take action. Deputies who shot him has been put on paid administrative leave. Well, that part is always the same. But still, wow.
4 times. You was on some good shit. And hit you with beanbags.
We tried talking to him. We called his house. We negotiated with him.
We
became his best friend on Facebook.
3rd time coming out there, which means they had came 2 times already.
We brought him we bought him something to eat, and we then
and bought 1-800 flowers. It wasn't enough.
We gently stroked his head, and we finally killed him when he stabbed 7 deputies. We said, okay, finally we have to do something. He got too close to the dog, and that's the only thing we love more than people. All right, y'all, we will talk to you later in the week. Thank you so much for listening. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.